All right, great singing all the way around. We bless the Lord for how good God's been, the good songs of Zion. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Philippians in chapter 3. Philippians in chapter 3. You know how sometimes you wake up and you're just feeling bad and thinking, you know, I think I'll just lay in the bed here all morning. And then somebody reminds you it's Sunday. Why is that? What do you reckon why that is? You know what the average Baptist does when they wake up on Sunday morning and feel like, I just wish I could lay in the bed? They just lay in the bed. Yes, we live in a world that does what they want to do, when they want to do it, if they want to do it, and with no regard for God or whatsoever. All right, Philippians 3, if you're able to stand, look there in chapter number 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, and beware of evil workers, and beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. Move upon us within us, we pray thee, and we ask you now you continue to bless and move in our midst in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I appreciate the good job Brother Darrell brought Wednesday night, the good sermon. And we got back into town and so was able to come and enjoy that. And we want to preach on this subject. He's the reason to rejoice. That's what our verse scripture that we've read in verse number 1 said. Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, if you don't have anything to rejoice in, you need to come to know the Lord. If you know the Lord, regardless of how much hell's raging all around you, you can rejoice in the Lord, for God is good and bestowed upon us something that money cannot buy. I begin to look into this, and let me tell you something, is that when you talk about the Lord, the Apostle Paul, you remember when he was Saul of Tarsus? He was breathing havoc against the church. Remember that? And then one day on the road to Damascus, God struck him down. God got his attention. God saved him. And he began to preach the same Christ that he persecuted. Now they all hate him for it. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, I've learned a thing or two about going out and eating. Is that there's a lot of Baptists out there that like tattoos. I've never seen so many people. Little kids. Mama used to wait and couldn't wait to get them down there to get the little ear pierced. Now it's getting down there and getting tattoos on top of that. Now, do I care? No. Now, I don't care if you don't look nasty. Get at it. Somehow or another, they just don't care what God says, if anything, about the subject or about the matter. And if you do say anything about it, or that little man bun, you know, that shows up on these men, if you say anything about that little cutesy man bun, they're going to find them a church that don't care that goes right along with that.
Yes, sir.
See? In the day and hour that we're living in. Now, it's always been two things in the Baptist church. You can't preach on long-haired men, short-haired women, or women dressing like men, and so forth and all. That's always been. But now the list goes on and on and on.
Bigger and bigger.
Yeah. See? I can't imagine. You know what I'm thinking about and what I'm looking at here is that when you rejoice in the Lord, you better be glad God found you and snatched you as a brand from burning and saved you just in the nick of time. You know, in the day we live in, and I didn't realize or know it, but there's a lot of time people will come by and they'll visit. Some of you will get one to come by and visit, or some of these boys and girls will meet somebody that they went to school and they're brushing shoulders with. And they're already going to church somewhere, so when they find out that they're visiting here, buddy, they go to tell them the biggest lies they can tell on us, trying to fill them with a bunch of spooks and making them scared. They don't need to do that. They'll just come a time or two. I'll let them know what God said, and that'll spook them enough. In the Bible that we're looking at, the Bible said we ought to rejoice in the Lord. Now, I got to tell you, is that we're not just talking about people sitting in the pew either, but we're talking about across this country there are pulpiteers that no longer stand for nothing whatsoever. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said Jesus is the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. And let me tell you, when you get to where you're not interested in truth, you'll not be interested in Jesus Christ and what He had to say. You can't rejoice in the Lord if so be you don't believe the truth that God has given. Let me say to you, number one is He saved us. Can you remember when God saved you? Every now and again, you just need to come aside, get away from the TV, turn the computer off, or the little button games you're playing, or whatever it is you're doing. Every now and then, stop it and just rejoice in the Lord and how good God's been, where He brought you from, where you would have been had it not been for the grace of God. I will tell you, He saved us. We couldn't save ourselves. He saved us. If you're saved here this morning, He saved you. Not only that, but let me tell you, He settled us in the matter. I don't know. We're in the day and hour. You ask somebody down the road, if you died today, would you go to heaven? I hope I would. I'm not just hoping that I'd go. I'm not trying to go on a credit. I'm not trying to go on a hope so, maybe so might be. Holding out, doing the best I can. I'm not doing that. Here's what I'm settled in: the fact that my name's written in heaven and been sealed there by the Holy Ghost of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I can tell you something else about it. He secures us. I'm going to tell you, I'm troubled about a lot of things that I don't like in this world that most of the time, if you'll just stick around, you don't even have to ask me. I'll tell you what I don't like. But let me tell you right now, on all of that you could pile up somewhere else, is that it doesn't bother me or shake my faith. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. If you're a child of God, you know that. And let me tell you, we're secure in the matter. When I pillow my head at night, I know that if I don't wake up here tomorrow, I'll be on a street of gold. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find the reason why we say all of that and see all of that is because He is the Savior. He's the only begotten Son of God. You'll find is that He's the one that reached down and snatched us as a brand from the burden. I'm glad whenever God came knocking on my heart's door, He got my attention. Every now and again, you know, I'm looking at and I think about is that you'll hear a knock up and down the road of life. And do you know if you don't answer pretty quick, the knock's going to quit. Of course, where I live, you know, there's going to be a lot of people. We get about 4,000, 5,000, 7,000, 8,000 packages from Amazon a month, not counting the other things that we get. And so I'm not complaining to all these boys and girls that are here. We've raised our own Amazon order people. And I just tell them, rather than him having to run up and down the street there, you know, instead of doing all that, I just tell them, all these are our kids, grandkids, and you just leave it right here on the porch and all that business there. And so if you don't hear, answer the door, and very seldom do they now, you can just hear them open the gate, slamming stuff down, you know. I think every now and again one of them drives by and just slings it like a frisbee over to the port. And that's all right. I'm just thrilled the U.S. mail can bring it on. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that with all the muss and the fuss that's in life, the Lord is the Savior. And every now and again, you ought to just rejoice and thank God and be glad. You know, I look at all these grandkids and these great-grandkids now, and I just sit back every now and again and just think about how good God has been and where He brought us from, and we could have been had it not been for the grace of God. It's good to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. In this lesson that you're looking at, you find out is that when we talk about rejoicing in the Lord, do you realize it though that the major verse in this book of Philippians is in chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I mean, that's it. If you're alive in Christ, you'll leave here in gain, no doubt about that. He paid the sin debt, and no doubt for you to be born again. And when I got saved, for me to live is Christ, and to die will be gained. Now, he's the promised gift, by the way, when you begin to look into him. You remember over there in the book of Ephesians, don't turn there, but you'll remember it in chapter number 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, he said, lest any man should boast. Do you know if you could work your way to heaven, there'd be nothing but some loudmouthed Baptist bragging about how they made it when they got there. I'm glad to know that it's been by the grace of God that we're born into the family. Now, I want you to not lose your place, but I want you to look in 1 John, in the book of 1 John. Not St. John, but 1 John. And I want you to see chapter number 2, and it's about verse number 25. In the passage that's over there, you're going to need these down the road, I'm sure. But in chapter 2, verse 25, here's what he says in the passages there in 1 John. And this is the promise that he has promised us, look at it, even eternal life. See, our promise, our gift that God gave us, it, which is eternal life, and the Bible said right there, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. Now, notice in chapter 5, 1 John 5, in chapter 5, verse 11. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And notice, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I got to tell you right now, the Bible said that whenever you begin to look into it, this is the record that God gave his Son. I want you to see who he is. Look in verse number 20, same chapter, 1 John 5. We know that the Son of God has come, and he hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and that we are in him that is true. And did you get that? We're going to know him that is true. We are in him that is true. Then if you wonder who that is, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. Who is? Jesus Christ is. And eternal life. I want to tell you something. Is that the Jehovah's Witness and those people that want to deny the deity of Christ, being God incarnate in human flesh, they have to deny the word of the Lord concerning the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. He is the Son of the living God, make no mistake about it. And he's a promised gift that if you know him right now in the free pardon of sin, it is the grace of God and the gift of God that he has brought you to know him in full redemption. All right, back in our text, if you will, is that you'll find that in chapter number 3 and verse number 10, he said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable unto his death. I want to tell you something. He's a powerful gift. And let me tell you, whenever old Paul said over there in the book of Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. Now, you may hear the gospel and not be saved, but it's because you didn't believe it. If you receive it and believed it, it's the power of God and the salvation that's able to save your soul and snatch you as a brand from the burden and break the shackles of sin and captivity and bondage off of you. Look in Philippians chapter 4, look at about verse number 7. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to tell you something, is that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have passed from death unto life. And make no mistake about it, is that we've got a peace that passeth all understanding. The devil may try to make you doubt it. You may pout it. You may get shook up a little bit every now and again in life. But he gives us a peace of God that passeth all understanding. Somebody said, can you understand all God's done for you? No. It's a thing by faith we receive. I want to tell you something. The Lord will keep your heart and he'll keep your mind. That's what the devil's trying to rob, is your heart, trying to mess you up. That's a reason to rejoice, by the way, that we're looking at, is that the fact that we're saved and secure in him. That brings me to another point here that I've probably used in days gone by, and that this gift that we're talking about that God has given is protecting. Now look back in your text, that if you will, please, at about verse number 3, and the Bible's verse 2 of chapter 3 of the book of Philippians. Look in verse number 2. He says, beware of dogs and beware of evil workers and beware of the concision. I'm not going to have any confidence in the flesh. I've got to give all glory and credit unto him. But listen carefully and watch that right there. Do you realize that, though, is that there's somebody trying to steal their way in? Do you know that the Bible said over there in the book of John, chapter number 10, about verse number 1, Jesus said that he that cometh or entereth not in by the sheepfold, but tried to climb up some other way, is a thief and a robber. Did you notice that? Let me tell you, there's a lot of people trying to steal their way into the family of God. Now, here's how you got in. If you're saved, you heard the gospel, God came knocking on your heart, God draws you by His Spirit, you had repentance given and faith given, and you got saved by the grace of God, and He added to the church daily such as should get saved. But if that's not what happened to you, then here's all you've got. Somebody trying to join the church, getting the baptism, and trying to get in by religion. I got to tell you, don't get the cart before the horse. When God comes knocking, open to Him, shut with Him and He with you, and get born into the family of God. In this lesson that we're looking at, the Bible said the way of life to the wise is above, that he may depart from the hell beneath. Let me say to you, over in the book of Isaiah, and I want you to turn there, in the book of Isaiah and chapter 14, I want you to find the place, and then I want you to look in the book of Luke, chapter number 15. And the reason being is because of the fact that I'm glad that we're not trying to rob our way in with God. I'm glad that we've been washed by the blood, born into His family, and by His precious blood, and as a result, by the power of God. Now, I want you to watch, if you will, please, in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 14. In the book of Luke, chapter number 15. I'll give you a moment to find that. But in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 14. Do you know that here you are this morning, and as we sit here, and we've enjoyed singing, and we enjoyed reading the scriptures together, and enjoyed being able to look at how good God's been, what He's done, where He brought us from. Notice that, if you will, in the book of Luke, chapter 14, verse number 9. The Bible said, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Now, that's talking about, no doubt, that the Antichrist, that's talking about Lucifer, that was thrown out. That's talking about that. But let me just tell you more in that, is that if you're here this morning and you're not saved, if you're lost and undone without God, and if that's the way you're going to be and that's the way you're going to end up, you're going to find out that hell is stirring itself up for you, waiting on you to come. Look in verse 9 again, chapter 14, Isaiah. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming, stirreth it up for the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. See, it hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nation. Let me tell you, there's a lot of kings while you turn to the book of Luke. There's a lot of kings that are in the world that think that their position, they think all their pomp, their circumstances, they think their possession, they think that's going to safeguard them. And God says unto them, hell is awaiting for you, and it stirs itself up for you. Now that's going to be your plight. That's going to be your condition. That's what you're going to be facing if you don't know the Lord. But now look in the book of Luke. Turn quickly there. In the book of Luke, and the Bible says, chapter number 15, and about verse number 7. Now, in that passage there, he said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I won't tell you, that's the other side of the coin. Here's a person, buddy, one sinner that was lost. And let me tell you, whenever the Master found him, there was joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. Do you know that whenever you leave this world, if you know the Lord in the free pardon of sin, heaven gets stirred up to meet you. If you die without the Lord, hell stirs up to meet you. If you die in the Lord, heaven is rejoicing, and they have a camp meeting over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons that need no repentance. I got to tell you something while you turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 30. Is that you're going to find, again, over in the book of Romans chapter 2, but it was just Deuteronomy chapter 30 will do for now in closing. I want you to see that the gift of God will change your life. The way you think, the way you act. You know why? This is a particular gift. It's a divine gift. And let me say to you, here's what it'll do for you. Chapter 30, verse 6, book of Deuteronomy. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed. And here's what happens when he does it. To love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Look, if you will, please, in verse 29, same chapter, book of Deuteronomy. In this passage that you're looking at, 19. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. In closing, let me say to you that if you will, you sit here this morning. God's got life and death sitting before you. Here's what he's asking you to do. Pleads with you. Choose life. Choose life. When these people died without the Lord and died religious but lost without God, some of them got out of a Baptist church and got drunk before they died. Some of them, buddy, just always playing both ends again the middle. Some of them had all the excuses they could muster up how they were as good as anybody in that church you're trying to get them to go to. I got to tell you right now, they never did choose life over death. They never did choose the way, the truth, and the life so they could be born into the family of God. Now, what about you this morning? What'd you choose when he came knocking on your heart's door? What'd you choose? Life or death? Very simple. Stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, as our musicians get ready to come, and as we sing an invitation song, there may be somebody say, preacher, I've been putting... There may be somebody say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but I've never let anybody let it be known. I've never followed the Lord in baptism. I want to come forward for that this morning. May it be done. May it be so. Now, Father, we ask your blessings now upon this message that you've given. We pray that you'd finish it in every heart. Save that one that's nearest hell. Revive the saints of God. Lift up the downhearted. Set the captives free, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. What